bring you greetings as well in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and glad for the privilege to be able to be with the brothers and sisters here this morning. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. The account of a man who came to Jesus with a question. We have a parallel passage of this is in Matthew chapter 19 as well and Luke chapter 18. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17 begin reading. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, "Good master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." He was sad at that saying and went away, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter to the kingdom of heaven?" And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looking upon them, saith, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children with lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." Jesus referenced in verse 25 to this thing of the camel and the needle's eye. And perhaps you, as I was when I was young, heard this explained as a narrow or low passage that camels needed to get down on their knees and crawl through to get into the city. I don't believe that's what it was talking about. The needle that's used here has the idea of a needle to sew with, like a surgical needle. The eye of it, of course, is as part you put your thread through it. And the term "through the eye of a needle" was a common expression among the Jews to describe something that was impossible. And that's what Jesus was saying here as well. The camel was a common animal of burden, a beast of burden, used especially in the desert climate. By God's definition, it was an unclean animal as far as it went by the law. I would like to just think a little bit this morning for a few moments about this needle's eye. Now, as you sisters would know, and being a seamstress, that needle that you use for sewing has that little itty-bitty tiny hole in it. And some are larger and some are smaller. But if you had a larger needle that had an eye in it that was a 1/16 of an inch, which is really small, that's still 1,300 times too small for a camel to get through. Now, we have several characters in here. We have this man that comes to Jesus. We have God, Christ, who is talking, and we have the camel. And the camel represents man and his fallen and his unredemptive condition. He is unclean. He carries a heavy burden of sin. We have God on the other side of the picture, who is righteous and holy and perfect and pure, and demands holiness from all those who would come to him. And so we have corrupt man over here, and we have the holy, righteous, sovereign God over here, and between we have a needle's eye. And Christ is calling and beckoning to unregenerate man to come to him. But the way there is through the eye of the needle. I like to think of that as the gateway of salvation. The way to God, the way to the cross. And as sinful man tries to reconcile himself to the holy God, the camel meets the needle. And the impossibility looms before him. And there's no way to get around the needle to get to God, and there's no way to get through it. And he finds himself hopeless and helplessly lost. And yet, Christ says that with God, in verse 27, with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. This man that came to Jesus, Matthew 19 says he was a young man. Strong would say he was less than 40. But probably a bit older than just a youth. He had a preferred position in that he was a ruler, probably well respected in his society. He was a religious man. He knew the law. He had kept it. All these commandments, he told Jesus, I've kept from my youth. He knew it. And he had religiously adhered to the teachings he had had. He kept himself a good, respectable person. He was wealthy. Exactly what wealth he had isn't told. Nor is it said how he attained it, but apparently he had attained it without breaking the law. And yet, he was a man with a lack. Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 20, that, and he says the same thing here in Mark 10, and verse 21, one thing thou lackest. He was a man with a lack. In spite of his preferred position and his wealth and his religious zeal, something was wrong, something was missing. There was an emptiness that was there, a void that he couldn't fill. He'd done everything right. And yet, something was amiss. His desire to know what that was led him to Christ. Somehow he needed the assurance of eternal life and he didn't have it. Perhaps he had heard Jesus teach about eternal life and he wanted it, but it wasn't there. He lacked the assurance of it. And Jesus knew this man's heart. He knew precisely where the lack was. And he knew the pain it would cause the man to be made aware of the lack. And Jesus' response to him, I think, came out of a heart of love and a heart of compassion for the man. He truly wanted this man to have eternal life. He truly wanted to fill the empty spot in his life. And the response to him was, yes, there's one thing you lack. And the camel met the needle. The man found himself in a position that so many others have found as themselves in, the desire for relationship with God. The assurance that all is well, the assurance that eternal life is in store for them, but between them and God lays this needle's eye. And there's no way that man on his own can get through it. And the question that comes in is, will Christ let him do it? I met a 21st century version of this young man last fall, holding meetings up in the Northeast state. He was a middle-aged man, had a few years older than me. And after the service one evening he attended, he wanted to talk. We met with him. As he poured out his story, a year and a half before that he lost his father, and then 8 months later he lost his mother. And with sobs and tears he poured out his grief. He felt he had failed his parents and failed very miserably in life. He was a very well-educated man. He was a very intellectual man. And he was very wealthy. He'd retired when he was in his mid-30s because he had enough money made to live on the rest of his life. Yet, something was lacking. Yes, he was a religious man. He believed that Christ had died for his sins. Only through Christ he could have eternal life. He had a profession of faith. He was not one given to vice. He was a good moral man. Now we would say a man like that by the world's standards, any parent should have been proud of and thought his son was a success. And this man said, I have miserably failed my parents. I have given them nothing. Now, he cared for his parents. His wife and him had moved back from California to care for them in their old age. He had honored, he had respected them. Yet there was this void. He had no children, and the only thing he said I have to show for in life is my wealth. And he loathed it. In fact, he said I'm considering just giving everything away and taking a vow of poverty. We're not talking about a savings account. We're talking about seven-digit figures. We would say the man should have been perfectly happy in life. But I've never seen a man who was so honest about the misery of wealth. My heart went out to him. We took him to the scriptures, which he was quite knowledgeable about. And I began to realize as we talked with him that this man's problem was not his wealth, it was his treasure. We took him to this account in Mark chapter 10, Matthew chapter 19. How Jesus had told this man that because his treasure was his wealth, then the wealth had to go. Because the treasure was what came between him and God. But I looked at this man across the table from me and I said, Joe, I don't think your treasure is your wealth. And he kind of got an enlightened look in his face and he says, oh, no. What? He said, is it my intellectual pride? And I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. We talked some more. I'm not sure where yet he will come out. He attended some more evenings. It was a new thought to him of where the issue lay. And he came to the needle's eye. The response of some people, this man, the young here in this chapter, he came to Christ and he wanted the answer to his problem, which was an empty heart, something that was lacking. And Jesus gave him the solution. The solution was to get rid of the treasure, to go through the needle's eye and to allow Christ to strip him of everything that was in the way. And the man had the response that so many people today have. They turned and walked away. Turned and walked away. The cost was too great. Look at what all I have to give up. It's impossible. And Jesus said, that's right, but not so with God. Not so with God. For some, perhaps, when they meet the needle's eye, they simply try a different way. In Matthew 19, it says about this man that he said, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? In other words, what can I do to earn this? What can I do so that I can guarantee it's for mine? He wanted to do something, perhaps a good works it would seem like, that would give him the right. As I talked with Joe and his thing, I saw that his consideration of a vow of poverty was just that very thing. It was an attempt to do something that then he could claim merit with God that I've done this, and so now you have to do this. And I said, you will end up just as empty as you were before. Just as empty as you were before. No, the solution, when we meet the needle's eye, is to allow God to work the miracle and take us through it. Take us through it. When a sinner becomes convicted of his sinfulness before God and his accountability, when he comes to Christ in true repentance, then God works the miracle of salvation. We don't understand all how it happens, but he does. And he forgives our sins, he cleanses us, he makes us new creatures. The journey through the needle's eye is a refining process that makes us Christ-like. And it is only possible with God. Only possible with him. There's nothing we can do except accept God's way and allow him to take us through this needle's eye. And that journey is a process that is ongoing. It's not once and done for all. We come to Christ and we leave the treasure of ourself behind. And we dispose of everything that our heart is set on and we surrender all to God. And yet, since we're in the flesh, we tend to try to pick up these treasures and take them with us. You know, and we collect this baggage. And God says, the only thing that can go through the needle's eye is a surrendered self. There is no earthly treasure that will fit through the needle's eye. Jesus gave the solution to this man when he said, go. Leave the treasure behind and then come. Pick up the cross and follow me. And when we do that, he says furthermore in verse 31, there is blessings. And he gives us so much more than we ever left behind. We look at this young man and we say, poor man, he was so close to eternal life. He was almost there. In fact, he was down to only one thing left. And he walked away from it. But then I have to search my own heart and life. And I wonder if sometimes God doesn't look at me and say, poor soul, you've got one thing there. And you need to go again through the eye of the needle. When we do that, he brings us out the other side as a servant that is ready to be used by him. May that be our experience this morning. Let's kneel for prayer.